Our text this morning is the epistle appointed for Pentecost Sunday, which occurs in about 3 weeks. We hear these words from Acts chapter 2, with the last verse being the response of the people who were listening to the apostles. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And these are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. And dear fellow redeemed in Christ, over a half century ago, a theologian observed how so many churches over the years have attributed their decisions, their new decisions, to the work of God the Holy Spirit. Church bodies decide to merge and create one large church body. Who gets the credit? God the Holy Spirit. A new consensus is found on some teaching of Holy Scripture brought forth by theologians and then getting a majority vote at a synod meeting. Who gets the credit? God the Holy Spirit. A church body takes a brave new stand on some moral issue, deciding that the ancient consensus on what Scripture has taught on that issue no longer applies to us in the 21st century. A new meaning is found which allows what was forbidden. God the Holy Spirit is credited with leading the church to discover that new meaning. These innovations are accomplished not so much by an in-depth study of God's Word, but rather by a feeling of God's presence, which now allows a new understanding. The actual Word of God is set aside, supplanted by the standards of society, by a hyper-spirituality that goes beyond the confines of Scripture's actual words to a deeper meaning found beyond those words. The Word of Scripture is made to conform to us, to our loves, to our feelings, to our ways of thinking. This is the context of the church here in America as we move forward in this third decade of the 21st century. It's a context that demands that we pay attention even more to the Word of Scripture, the meaning of those words and the consequences of that meaning for us. On that first day of Pentecost, God the Holy Spirit gave to the apostles the gift to speak in other languages those wonderful works of God. People from all over the Mediterranean world heard that word of God, the preaching of the apostles, in their own native tongues. They did not hear different messages, but the exact same message, only in those different languages. And what was that message? It was what Jesus had taught his disciples and then reminded them again after his resurrection from the dead. As we read in Luke 24, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Peter, the main preacher there now on the day of Pentecost, has his sermon recorded for us in the rest of chapter 2 of Acts. And here is how he speaks about Christ to this group of, thousands of Jews. And he says this, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. For the promise, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. for the promises to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. These are the words which God the Holy Spirit gave to St. Peter on that first Pentecost. These divinely inspired words are the truth from God himself about his only begotten Son, Jesus, and what he means for us and for all our children, for all of you, for our college community, and beyond. This is not a truth that changes over time. Jesus is not a person who mutates according to human expectations. Neither does the truth of God's word change. The Holy Spirit now works among us through the one holy Christian and apostolic church, by the pure preaching of God's word, and the faithful administration of the holy sacraments. In these God-given ways, the Holy Spirit is still bringing sinners to faith, imparting the gifts of salvation, the forgiveness of sin, the gospel for you. The meaning of the Word of God, the words divinely given by God the Holy Spirit himself, are not subject to human opinion, our loves, our likes or dislikes. This means that when Jesus said at the very beginning of his ministry, "Repent," he meant then what he still means today. The law of God is the same now as it was then. The sin of rebelling against God and his promises continues to be the sin with which we are confronted. The effects of God's law remain the same, cutting to the heart to those who hear it, which brings us either to ask, "What shall we do?" or putting our hands over our ears so that we do not hear. Think of the many passages in God's word which are subjected to the faith-denying questions. Consider the tragedy that occurs when people can no longer say about their churches or their spiritual leaders, "We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." Instead, they're directed to the ever-changing moral bankruptcy of the 21st century, the satanic lies of those who claim new revelations from the Holy Spirit in direct contradiction of the Word of God. We must understand what is at stake when the meaning of God's Word is changed to suit our own choices and preferences. The truth which is given in the Bible is the truth meant to give you certainty, comfort, assurance in the troubles of life, and especially as you prepare for your own death. Biblical truth does this because it gives us Jesus, his forgiveness, his mercy, his love. We cannot presume to think that God's word on sin and his promises of mercy and grace are subject to our culture's values or that of any other people or society. God's word and his truth transcend all. It is the truth spoken for all time, unchanging, so that all can continue to say, "We hear them speaking in our own language the wonderful works of God." Those works of God, the works of Jesus, are directed to save you from real sin, from real eternal death, by giving you the forgiveness bought by the death of your Savior Jesus and the life he now gives to all who believe. Listen to and stay with the saving word as brought to you in Holy Scripture, as inspired by God, the Holy Spirit himself. There you have certainty in our days of confusion. There you have comfort in our days of trial. And there you have forgiveness when your sins burden you. In Jesus' name, amen. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may rise and let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty Son of God, we beseech you, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts through your word, that he may rule and govern us according to your will, comfort us in every temptation and misfortune, and defend us by your truth against every error, so that we may continue steadfast in the faith, increase in love and good works, and firmly trusting in your grace, which you purchased for us by your death, obtain eternal salvation. For you reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.